Hey guys, welcome back!
Oh my gosh, that was so very loud.
It was because I'm really close, but I was like screaming. So
you were really making sure that they were welcomed back.
I'm going back to mumbling.
I'm so
like
sorry.
How I usually
that...
do, you know. Anyways, how was your week?
It's good.
I sprayed perfume in my nose.
Yeah. We made a TikTok.
Honestly, please
a
make
ago.
My TikTok go viral.
You
my nose
say
still
your
hurts.
Username?
Yeah, it's JNETB.
With an underscore, I think.
Maybe.
And that's it.
I don't know. But yeah, go like that.
It was really funny. Yeah. She was in so much pain. I don't...
It still kind of hurts. And I thought I got drunk off of...
No underscore, sorry.
I thought I got drunk off of perfume sprayed in my nose for a minute. And then I was like...
Yeah.
Wait, no. And then I was kind of nervous that I was going to die. But then I was like, people literally... snort cocaine. That's 10 million times worse than snorting perfume. So anyways, I'm surviving.
Are you thriving?
Surviving, thriving, not dying.
Good for you.
All right. Anyways, I wanted to talk more because it's only been 1 minute.
I mean, I have enough. But,
okay.
All
right.
Episode,
we're diving right in head first into this. Yeah. I don't know why. Okay, just go.
You're so talkative today.
It's because I just had a cup of coffee, but I'm also really, really,
girl,
really
girl,
tired. So I literally can go to bed right now. But then again, I can also talk for like 5 hours. So
oh, I have
okay.
something to talk
about.
Oh my
god, I could actually do the little announcer voice at the very end where it's like, you know?
Oh my gosh, wait, let me tell you. So,
side effects
what
are death, possible heart
can
ache.
Can I please say what I was going to say? All I was going to say is that I have been obsessively listening to StarKid Homecoming.
Oh.
She was ready for me to say Morbid.
I know.
But I've been
but
obsessively listening to them. I did. Hey, Morbid. You don't listen to us. But hi, I love
sad.
You.
Sad. What if they do and they're like, well, we're not important.
I'm sorry then. But I've been obsessively listening to it because it was their 10-year, I almost said revolution, not reunion. It's their 10-year reunion, and then they recorded it, and so I have it on audio, so I've just been listening to it, but I still need to save up for the digital copy of it. So, do I need to read the note that you wrote
yeah,
me on air?
Yeah, I was about to say, like, she can't write in cursive.
I can't.
I don't know
it
how
looks
that
so
happened.
Bad.
But,
bad.
But can you read in cursive?
Yeah. Aw, that's sweet. Do I need to say it out loud?
Yes.
Okay. Your face is in the way of the microphone.
It's okay. They
okay.
can still hear you.
Dear Emily blank blank. I don't want to say my full name.
That's true. I wouldn't either.
I appreciate everything you do for me. And I... Okay. That word lost me. Enjoy working with you. I love you, heart, Jeanette, blank blank. I love that, writing in cursive, but the word cursive looks really janky.
Because I literally gave up. Because I said, I don't know how to write writing.
Yeah,
I don't know how to spell writing
really
sometimes.
Good. Mine is like,
thank
I
you.
Feel like I would do better if I was trying to write smaller, you know?
One time, what is it? I forgot like the which president he said, but I'll just say George Washington.
Ooh.
So I put it on, I put it on my story. I was like, I only like writing notes if it's in cursive because my regular handwriting sucks, you know?
Yeah.
And someone slid up and said, boy, that looked like George Washington wrote it. And I was like, thank you.
That's honestly such a good compliment.
Honestly. I feel like that's how cursive is supposed to look, you know, like old and stuff.
No one's ever slid up on my handwriting.
Okay, but also your regular handwriting, like just that, is a lot better than mine. So.
It's not though. I have really
but
good
it is
handwriting.
Though. Like I hold on. I'm gonna write the same letter I just wrote you in cursive, but in regular, and you're
okay.
gonna be like, ew. So
am I?
Entertain them while I write.
Okay. Crap. I don't know what to do. Okay. So today at work,
uh-huh.
I walked up to Jeanette, all like professional-ish. It was at 4:20 p.m. and I pointed to the clock and I said, "Hey, I need you to look at something for me." And then I pointed. To the 4:20 p.m. on the computer. and she wasn't very appreciative of me doing that. I'm
I just,
talking
I told
really
the customer.
Yeah, I didn't like that. I was
he
wanting
was younger
it to be
than
a secret.
Us. We thought it was funny.
I know, but okay, that's not the best. But it's
no,
still
it's ugly.
It's still legible. But yeah, you do the thing that I do where you like hook the letters together while you're writing in
normal handwriting. Okay, but also if you notice the U, I accidentally forgot to put a space. So like I wrote four and then I did U and then I was like, oh no. So I made a space with the Y. Did you see that? Like I didn't lift up my pen created my own.
I was just laughing like a hyena. That's not okay.
For you.
Okay, so
anyways, that's my beautiful.
I guess that'll have to be the caption or the title of today's video is
my handwriting sucks, but her cursive is worse.
That's actually such a good
title. I know, it's beautiful.
Wait,
I liked
need
it.
To write it down before I forget it.
Don't write it in cursive. I want it to be eligible.
Okay. So today we are going with part two.
Okay. Yeah, laughter is over. That's what happened,
dude.
Yeah. I looked down and I was like, has it really only been a minute still?
No, it's been five.
And I was looking at the wrong box.
No, we're fine. Okay, so
I need to make another cup of coffee.
Dear Lord, maybe no, you don't. Okay, for reference, it is 12:22 a.m. We are just now starting to record, and we're going to do a few episodes tonight, so maybe we should get to this.
Thank you, Karina. Okay.
She wanted to add Karina into the episode. Okay, so who is easily our number one fan? And actually, earlier at work, I couldn't remember something we mentioned an episode. And then I asked her, and she answered one of my questions that I had
knew. In the episode. Oh, she's so precious.
It was incredible. Okay, so let's get sad. And get back to talking about the toolbox killers.
I don't want to. So, there's no point. Like, can you just tell them and I'll just go to bed? Night night.
No. So where we left off last time. So last time we talked about the murder of Cindy Schaefer, who was 16. Yeah, who was 16, and Andrea Hall, who was 18 years old. That's where we left off, where we last were. Bittaker had killed Andrea and was looking at Polaroid pictures of her. This happened on July 8th. So, here we are now. This is going to be September 3rd. This was the day of a double homicide. So, this includes... Oh, I'm so sorry. Quickly, very big trigger warning.
No.
Sorry.
Oh my god, I smell perfume.
Thank you. That was the trigger warning. No, trigger warning for children, murder, rape. Yeah. So this is going to include 15-year-old Jackie Gilliam. I believe that's how you pronounce it.
It's all these sightings from Murderpedia?
Murderpedia. Okay. Yeah. All of this is going to be from, yeah. I love that website, by the way.
Sounds like a fun website.
It's not that fun.
No, like it's fun. Yeah. Murderpedia.
Yeah. Okay, so... This is going to be 15-year-old Jackie Gilliam and 13-year-old Leah Lamp. So,
wait, did they only kill four total?
Five.
Oh, okay.
Yes, we have one more after this.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay, so they were at a bus stop on Hermosa Beach. However, they were seated at the bus stop. It didn't seem as though they were waiting for the bus, though. However, those two jerks... whose names I forgot somehow, Bittaker and Norris, sorry, they drove up and they offered them a ride. And they seemed to have happily accepted it. And he did mention that they had marijuana. So he was like, do you guys want to smoke? So,
oh, no.
So they continued to pass the joint around. And he said that he was going to the ocean, which, you know, these girls were from there. They were from Hermosa Beach. They could easily tell... like he was going the wrong way. So they called him out on it. They were saying, hey, you're going off course. They began to question him. And he just said he started making excuses and stalling with questions. So he was saying he was trying to find a parking spot for them to smoke. So the girls proceeded to argue. Like, tell him you're doing the wrong thing. Like, you're not going to the right place. So he pulled over at a tennis court. He parked near some tennis courts. And once he got there, Leah, the 13-year-old, tried to leave the van. Norris then hit her in the head with a baseball bat and dragged her back into said van. Now, apparently, there were tennis players on the court that watched this happen. And so they noticed that they were watching, and then they, like, gunned it in the van and drove away.
What the heck?
The police were never contacted about this. Yeah.
Dude, that is so suspicious.
I know. Like, I don't know.
Why would you not call the cops?
I don't know. But Vinegar and Norris, they
although
both...
a lot of people are very selfish when it comes to that. They it's think, like they don't want to get involved.
What is that thing called? It was like, well, it was in the Bible, too. Oh. It was the man that was dying on the floor, and so they, like, there were people that came... The bystander effect.
Oh!
Although I don't think that's what it was called in the Bible, but the bystander effect, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So they were probably just thinking, oh, someone else is going to call them for us, so...
But no.
Just so you guys know, Jeanette made another cup of coffee.
I'm going to be up all night. And actually, I won't be.
I have a 2-liter of Dr. Pepper next to me.
That's true. As soon as I hit my pillow, I will fall asleep, no matter how much coffee I have.
You're right.
And same thing with you, with your Dr. Pepper.
Oh, man, you are absolutely correct.
You're going to have to hit a pillow. All you have to do is
I might fall asleep while talking.
Okay, go on.
Okay, so no one was ever called, which was the part I wrote a bunch of question marks right there, and she changed the question marks into hearts. So these poor girls, I'm not going to go into too much detail.
No, please don't.
With this.
Literally, if you do, I'd probably leave.
You can't leave.
No joke.
We're in your house.
I can.
No, you can't leave.
I can go into my bedroom and slam the door and start blaring Hannah Montana, and you cannot stop me.
I mean, I'm try not going to try to. I like Hannah Montana. I'll listen to it.
You get that.
But, okay, we got it. So, these poor girls, Leah and Jackie, were kept alive for nearly 2 days after this. So during these 2 days, these poor girls were repeatedly raped and tortured, which obviously I'm not going to go into detail about because, no.
We get it.
However, these pieces of shit, don't pardon my language.
I literally was imagining, like, actual pieces.
That's what
of
they
shit,
look like.
So, well, yeah, I know, but... I was like, wait, what did they do with shit? So.
Oh, no, sorry, them.
Okay. But yes, there they are. Turds.
I posted a picture of them on the Instagram and our Twitter. Okay. Go spit on them. Okay, so.
Oh, don't spit on your phone. I don't suggest that. But.
So they kept audio tapes of everything that was happening.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So they would just constantly record this.
Why?
So
they like to hear it over and over again.
Yeah. So do you remember how Andrea Hall was killed from our last episode? It's the one that made you really uncomfortable.
Oh, yes. Ah, yes. Why? Why do you have to re-mention it?
Well, because it comes into play now.
No.
Okay. So, Bittaker, one day, was supposedly late to work. And so he was like, we need to kill them right now.
Akka, excuse me?
Thank you. So he was just like, we need to kill them right now, is what it seemed like. And so they decided to use the ice pick again on poor Jackie. However, they put it in both of her ears. However, she didn't die.
Oh, no.
I know. And so... they took turns strangling her to death after that. That is how she died, from strangulation. And then they went to Leah. And for her, Bittaker squeezed her throat. My computer just made a strange noise. I'm sorry. And
it doesn't like this.
Me neither. I'm sorry, computer. and Norris hit her in the head 7 times with a sledgehammer. At this point, well, obviously Bittaker was very late to work, which was his only concern.
It just doesn't make sense.
I don't know.
How are you going to be so concerned about being late for work, but...
Human lives? Nah. Late to work? Man, I gotta go.
I'm sorry, but yeah. A human life is more important than your job, no matter what it is. I'm sorry, guys.
I mean, yeah, no, I totally agree. So they threw them into over the cliff, as they'd done previously, with the ice pick still in Jackie's head.
Stop.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so... That's the end of that part.
I literally can't handle weird things that happen to the body. Like, I really can't. I don't know why I agreed to this. Her hip just popped and it grossed me out.
We had to actually pause the podcast because my hip popped out of place. Because I have snapping hip disorder, which is also, like, a thing that dancers get. Like, apparently... dancers get this,
and I'm
like,
literally I don't danced exercise. For 13 years and I never had that.
Well, I danced for like 2 years when I was 5 and now I have it. Who was more devoted to their craft?
Apparently you.
Oh my god.
Those first place trophies in my room are nothing compared to you when you were 5. Oh my god, no, that really grossed me out.
Okay, so...
Is that another title?
Yeah, you already Crafted made Ballerina. I know, but, like, so we have options.
Oh, okay.
Email us and let us know what title we used.
Ah.
Sorry.
Email us and tell us what title we used, and you, like... That doesn't make sense.
Okay, so... And we're back. That sounded like a commercial break. There was no pause. Okay, so...
It's because we were laughing and having fun, and now you're gonna ruin it with the sad story.
Sorry. I never mean to, but this is what you signed up for. I don't like, just so we're clear, I don't like telling these stories.
Why are we doing this? I don't like listening to you telling them, and then you don't like telling them.
Who knows? Okay, so now we're going to move on to a girl named Shirley Sanders. So this happened on September 30th. So Shirley Sanders lived in Oregon. However, she was there in LA visiting her father on Manhattan Beach. She was also, well, as most of these girls were, she was just walking, you know?
Yeah.
And
usually.
Yeah. And they tried to get her to give a ride, you know? And she declined because good. They then sprayed her with chemical mace.
Oh my god.
And dragged her.
That's what
her...
she should have sprayed them with, but she probably
didn't have it, yeah.
Yeah.
So they dragged her into the van, and then they both raped her. However, she did escape. They were very careless, and she was able to escape. Good for you. Good
Wait, for this she girl. Actually escaped?
You know, she actually escaped.
Wait, that's good.
Like,
what's
she's,
her...
she's
Wait,
good.
Did it say her name?
Yes, Shirley Sanders.
I wonder if she wrote about it.
She may have. But she actually plays a really big part in them getting caught.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready.
Go queen.
Really, though?
Shirley Sanders, you go, girl. So, she obviously filed a police report because, yeah.
Yeah.
However, she was not able to identify them. And then she didn't have their license plates. So there was nothing else that she could really do in this situation, so she returned home. Mm. It's obviously not the part which she comes into play in them being caught.
Right. I mean, at least she did her most in that situation.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yes, good for her. So in that month following, so this happened on September 30th, so for about
Wait,
a month after
that. Wait, how
old
was Shirley?
I don't know. I couldn't find
Was
that
she the fifth one that they grabbed?
No, there's another one coming up. She was...
So there was five that they killed.
Yes, five that they killed, and then her. Plus the victims at the beginning that they were put in jail for before them as well.
Yeah. But not their together ex.
Yeah. So, For this next month, they were obviously very, like, worried that the police were going to come after them.
I mean,
because she escaped. So they were just very, very worried about her contacting the police and being able to get them. So they went out on Halloween night and decided to look for their next victim.
I love Halloween so much, but situations like this make it scary.
Yeah, it really does.
Because, no, really, like, a lot of people are like, yes, we'll do it on Halloween night because it's, like, less suspicious.
Yeah, because if you're dressed up, like, creepily, if you're like, hey, do you want some candy? That's, like, a normal
literally,
thing.
Literally, yeah.
Literally.
You go around getting candy from strangers dressed up.
Who let Halloween happen? Who made the executive decision? Yeah, let's let those children go get candy from strangers.
I mean, I know the whole history of Halloween. Should it be an episode?
Yes, that should be an episode, but maybe we should do it closer to Halloween.
I was about to say more than a year away, but that's not it, right?
Halloween is never more than a year away.
I know.
That's weird. That's so Wait. Weird. Wow. Anyway, so.
I should have done that on Halloween. Anyways, go on.
Well, we had a good Halloween story. That's anyway, true. Yeah. Okay, so they decided to go out on Halloween, and they decided to just go into the streets, try to find someone. They decided not to go to the park, or not the park, I'm sorry, the beach, like they had been previously, because, you know, that's where they had most of their victims.
Yeah.
Was at the beach. So they were going around on the streets, and this was in the San Fernando Valley. It was a district in San Fernando Valley. I did have the exact street names, but I figured we don't need to know the exact street names.
We don't. You're just wasting time.
Yeah.
You're just wasting time.
Thank you. I was telling her to get closer.
I know.
Okay, so.
But you can still hear me. It's fine.
Okay, it's fine. So, a 16-year-old named Lynette Ledford was hitchhiking. Okay. This entire story is just a PSA not to hitchhike.
Honestly.
Please don't hitchhike. Please don't hitchhike. Please, please, please. Also, do not go into any vans, especially ones driven by either of those people.
Those specific people.
Okay, well, yeah.
Or anyone in general.
Hitchhiking. Don't go into a van that doesn't have windows. I feel like that's, like, grade one stuff, but.
Yeah.
But back then, this was normal.
No, it's true. I feel like over time, a lot of people gained more sense. Like, oh, well, we shouldn't do this.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Another thing in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which it's, like, based in the 70s, I think. I don't know.
Well, that's 60s, when this 70s.
Happened. It wasn't 80s. I don't know. But in one of the, like, one of the hippies keeps hitchhiking and stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's what it reminds me of. I like how I quote this movie a lot and you've never even seen it.
I literally haven't.
Or refer, not quote, but it's a good movie. I like Tarantino movies.
Sponsored by Quentin Tarantino.
Dang! We getting that cash money! Okay, hey Pulp Fiction.
Okay, so.
Okay, back to being sad.
Back to being sad. So, within 5 minutes of them accepting her ride, or her accepting to get into the van with them, whichever way you'd want to put that, Norris had already wrestled her to the ground of the van, which, pop quiz, do you remember what the van was named?
Murder Mac.
Good job.
I was telling Natalie about this the other day.
Oh, okay.
And okay, I didn't forget it then either, actually.
Actually, I'd forgotten it, so I was looking at my notes.
Wow.
I'm so good.
Wow. Who's better at this? Me.
No, you just pay attention to me. Thank you. I don't pay attention to me.
Apparently not.
So within 5 minutes, Norris specifically had wrestled her to the ground of Murder Mac. And they decided not to go to the mountains this time.
Okay.
So they just drove around the suburbs, raping and torturing her. Just driving around.
So while one was driving, the other one was doing things?
Yeah, that's what it seems like.
Mm-hmm. And then they were switching?
Yeah.
But the radio was blaring, so no one can hear.
Yeah. So there was the tape recording of this one, too.
No.
I'm going to read the audio of what happened, okay?
Okay.
I feel quite sure that these tapes are somewhere online. Do not go listen to them, please.
Oh, no.
Actually, while I was researching this case, I was looking up Lawrence Bittaker, and one of the most popular things was tapes. And I felt sick to my stomach seeing that.
Ew.
Okay, so let me just read this.
Online.
They probably are. Well, they were used in the jury as well. We'll go into that later, but yeah. Okay, so
I feel bad being there for that and hearing.
So the tape, this is going to also be from Murderpedia. The tape records him slapping her, saying, "Say something, girl. What do you want me to say?" She responds. The slapping continues. And in between them were cries of pain. This was Bittaker. He asked her, "You can scream louder than that, can't you?" And Ledford tried to do that because obviously, like, she's going to do what he's telling her to do. And then he starts to work with his vice grip pliers, like, on her neck. And then Norris says, "Make noise there. Go ahead and scream, or I'll make you scream." And then Norris starts hitting her elbows with a hammer. That's going to be only time I say that.
Please.
Because
no.
I don't want to think about that either.
I hate bones.
I know. I'll stop doing ones about bones. And she said, "I'll scream if you stop hitting me." So that was basically her last minutes. Because then they did it similarly to how they killed the first girl. They got a coat hanger,
okay.
And they wrapped it around her throat and tied it with pliers. Yeah. We are not going to talk any more about that murder. Don't worry. It's good news. The murdering's done. Bad news.
Oh,
we still have some stuff to talk about.
But now it's like they're getting caught and stuff now.
Yeah.
So that's a good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's a good stuff, though.
Soon
this
as we
is
are
why
to
I
happiness.
Sit through it, is so I can hear them getting caught.
So you can hear them yeah,
or
that's
dying.
Good. Yeah, well, one of them does.
Yeah, it's true.
Rest in... No.
Rest in non-peace.
Yeah, rest in...
Hell.
Yeah, good. I was trying so hard to think of something.
I know, I was like, I mean, hell is a
rest
good
in,
one.
Rest in... Okay. Okay, so they were feeling particularly asshole-ish this day. That's actually what I wrote in my notes.
Oh.
And they decided that they want to leave her body on the lawn of someone's home.
What the heck? Why? I mean, I don't know why I ask why, but literally this whole time just me why.
All of this is a big why.
Just show
a
us
big,
being
big
sane.
Why. So they left her in a bed of ivy. So this was in Hermosa
like poison
Beach.
Ivy?
No, I think it's just not poison ivy. Yeah.
Right.
That would be awful. Oh my gosh. I mean, obviously what they did was already awful.
Like, I mean, it's not the worst.
So her corpse was found the next morning, which was surprising to everyone that lived in the area because just a couple days before this, the Hillside Strangler was caught.
Oh!
I think we may have mentioned him, like, slightly in the first one. So, if not, I'll go ahead and touch on this.
Right.
So, it was two American serial killers were these people. One of them's name was Bianchi. And the other one's name was Buono. And together, they killed 10 people... as a duo, and then Bianchi killed two people on their own. They both had life of imprisonment. Like, that's what the jury decided for them. And all of their murders happened in between October 1977 and February 19... That was good. I said it.
Oh, you did. After you made me say
February.
It, then you got it right.
I can't do it again. Don't ask me to. 1978. So, remember, this happened in 1979. in October. So this was like just after they had been caught. So they weren't expecting there to be another kill so soon, basically. Or no, he was caught a couple months before this. The murders happened in 1978. I will do a story on them eventually. I don't have all the facts on them because it's not what I'm covering right now, you know?
Right. I mean,
makes sense.
You're gonna... No, actually, you didn't even... I was about to say you're gonna research the people you're gonna be talking about specifically.
Yeah.
And, but that's not true. I walked in and you weren't even researching... It was before the Zodiac Killer, I think.
I was researching this case.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, but then again, we weren't talking about them at that time.
We were not. You're absolutely right. Well, it's because he had just died that day.
Oh, yeah.
So I wanted to figure this out. Okay. Now we're not talking about the Hillside Strangler anymore. We're all done with that. So they realized, oh, my goodness, we killed 2 16-year-olds. And they were upset about that. However, they weren't too upset about that.
How did they know their age? They probably asked them, huh?
They probably did, yeah.
Because, I mean, they were going to say no matter what.
Yeah, yeah.
I would have said 75, bitch.
I think that would have been a good thing to say. So they realized, this was our second 16-year-old. So they were upset that they weren't getting their little game.
Ugh. I know, they did. They got them.
Yeah.
A double instead of all of the ones.
However, they weren't that upset because they were like, it's fine. We got time.
Ew.
However, this is when Norris begins to be the ultimate mess up that he is. I was going to use another word, but this is a family friendly. I'm just kidding.
I mean, you did say the S word.
I did.
I said the S word. My dad now watches or listens to these.
Oh, that was so cute.
I love you, Dad.
Okay, so, sorry. So he, Norris, was very proud of everything that he was doing. So he took to it to start bragging to his friends from prison. Like you do in these situations, obviously, right? So he began to just brag, and he ended up bragging to his friend named Jimmy Dalton, which is also your nephew's name. So I tried to do research on Jimmy Dalton, and I literally could not find this man anywhere. I wanted to see, like, what he was in jail for, but it was like, no, but here is a criminal named James Dalton from the 1800s, which wasn't very useful in my case. So...
Yes, the 1800s is helpful.
Thank you. Yes.
You're welcome.
Okay, so he initially thought that this was a joke. Like that his friend was just calling him like as a joke to brag about stuff, you know? And so he didn't think too much of it until he actually heard the news that her body was found on a lawn, in which he was like, "Oh, okay, this is serious. Like, this is something that's actually happening." So he called his lawyer, and his lawyer automatically went to the LA police, and they automatically sent him to the Hermosa Beach detectives. I know I'm not pronouncing that right.
Yeah, probably not. But you know, it's fine.
It's fine.
We understand.
Karina will correct me.
Hey, Karina.
We love you. Okay. I'm so sorry, Karina. We will stop this now.
I think she
likes it too.
Yeah. She likes hearing her name.
Yeah. Okay, so once they talked to the beach detectives, there was no forensic evidence. So they couldn't quite, like, you know, get him yet.
Correct.
Yeah. Because that's, you know, how that works. So they couldn't get them. However, something that he had said had rung a bell. He was talking about a silver van.
Oh, my gosh.
Such as the one that Shirley was kidnapped in.
Oh!
So.
Hey, Shirley.
Yeah.
Queen.
So he was saying that it sounded familiar. So they dispatched an officer to Oregon, in which Shirley then picked the two men out of a series of mugshots and was like, that was them that did this.
Oh my god, that's so, I mean, it's sad to think that Like, she had to see their faces again.
That's terrifying.
But I can't also, even like, I feel like, what is it, enlightening or whatever? That she got to put them in jail herself.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, she was helpful in this situation, which you were. Good for you, Shirley.
Thank you, Shirley.
So, they needed a strong case for arresting them. So, here we come back to Norris being dumb again. He's so dumb. He's literally so dumb.
Any person that wants to harm someone is dumb.
But here's this man who's killed and tortured 5 women. And he's breaking his parole by selling marijuana. Like, dude. Like, on the street, too.
He literally could have been, like, fine.
Yeah. But he was just selling marijuana on the street. Well, no, that wasn't, like, the only reason. No, he was definitely getting got for killing people.
Getting got.
But that was, like, the reason that they arrested him originally was because he was breaking his parole by selling marijuana.
What an idiot.
Okay, if you're gonna break your parole, maybe just sell the marijuana. Just keep out the killing, torturing, all that jazz.
And all that jazz. That's a good song.
Thank you.
A lot of songs say all that jazz, though.
Are you thinking of the one from Chicago?
No.
Oh, I don't like that, then.
I'll play it later.
Okay, sounds good. Okay, so...
Mick Jenkins, I think.
So, cool. So... I found this hilarious. On Murderpedia, it called him the weak link, and I thought that was hilarious.
That is funny.
Like, he is.
Weak.
You're weak and dumb, and I don't like you, Norris. Okay, so
no one does.
He was arrested for a marijuana charge, and Bittaker was arrested for kidnapping and raping Shirley. So, Norris waived his right to counsel and sparred with interrogators. He casted himself as a reluctant accomplice, but all of the acts were carried out by Bittaker. That's what he was trying to claim, is that he had no part in this, that it was all Bittaker, and because they had the prison bond going, what was it called again? Yes.
My goodness, wait, it was a... Pact, right?
Prisoner's code. That's what it was
called.
Sorry, I had to pull out my last week's
another word. Anyways.
Because they were bonded by that, he was like, I just had to do this. And he used that as an excuse. So, both of them were charged for first-degree murder. 5 counts of first-degree murder. And they also had additional charges, federal charges, of kidnapping, robbery, rape, deviant sexual assault, and criminal conspiracy. And both of them tried to blame the other person. What?
They literally said that it was a thing they did together. And then they were like, wait, no, it was just...
It was actually like, I had nothing to do with this.
I had to do this because I agreed we'd do this together.
Yeah.
This is not my fault. It is all his fault. Oh, idiots. Yeah.
Wow. I know. So.
See, this part, when they're just claiming that they're not bad, it's just, it's not sad. It's just hysterical.
It's, yeah.
That's why I like this part. I don't cry anymore.
I like this part, too. Okay, so, Norris, my man... You piece of shit. He claimed that he was just on drugs, and so he was unable to assist Bittaker. However, what was one crucial piece of evidence that I was talking about earlier?
The recordings.
Yeah, the recordings. He's clearly part of it in the recordings.
No, he's... He was too...
He was just an accomplice, right? Yeah, he was
sitting there.
He was just there. So, the recordings were there, and they were like...
They're like...
Yo, what the heck is this? Like, this isn't it. And so
Oh, my God.
So, he got the same charges as Bittaker. And so, in February... Yeah, sorry. Can you say that month for me, please?
February.
1980. Norris led them to where the bodies were found. He led them to, where Leah... and Jackie were. the ice pick was still in Jackie's head. Oh, last time I mentioned it, oh I my promise. God,
please.
And so he did get like a plea deal for showing like where the bodies were. So let me just read this word for word. This is from Murderpedia, of course. Norris's jail inquisitor noted Roy's casual, unconcerned manner as he discussed the five murders without regret. In the officer's opinion, Norris appears compulsive in his need and desire to inflict pain and torture upon women. The defendant himself acknowledged that in commission of rape upon a woman, it was not the sex that was important, but the domination of the woman.
Ugh.
Disgusting.
Okay, also not even women. They were teens.
They were babies.
Yeah, not even teen babies.
Babies. Okay. And considering the defendant's total lack of remorse about the plight of the victims, he can realistically be regarded as an extreme sociopath whose depraved, grotesque pattern of behavior is beyond rehabilitation. The magnitude and the enormity of the defendant's heinous, nightmarish criminal behavior is beyond the comprehension of this probation officer. So with this, he was sentenced 45 years to life with a minimum of 30 years to serve before parole. So if you remember, he did try to get parole.
Yeah.
It was actually in 2010, not 2009. So I was wrong. It didn't happen so this year again.
2020.
Yeah. So it'll be next year that he's able to try that again.
I don't want that.
Yeah.
He can just stay there. We don't, there's not a necessity for him to be out.
I agree. So now we're going to jump back over to the other piece of garbage, Bittaker. So his trial lasted, that's true.
Dead.
Thank goodness. His trial lasted did you just spit on him?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Spit on his grave. Do they even bury them?
I don't know.
What do they do with that?
Did people don't actually know.
Want him? Like, his family?
I hope not. I mean, okay, if it's their family, I guess it's like...
No.
I don't want to try to argue. No, absolutely, me too.
I would be like, that's not my child.
Yeah.
No, honestly, not even a joke. I'd be like, no, I did not raise that.
That's fair.
That's horrible.
Okay, so Bittaker.
Like my uncle or something, I'd be like, that's not mine. Anyways, go on.
All right. His trial lasted for 3 weeks. And then in those, he decided to write some memoirs in which he tried to convince the jury that Norris was the mastermind behind all of this.
Stupid.
I know. So he tried to convince the jury members that, and he failed. Well, obviously.
I hope he like didn't succeed.
Yeah, no, he failed.
I would be highly disappointed in everyone.
So on
February
17th, 1981, he was found guilty on 5 counts of murder and 21 related felonies. Nice. So he was first found guilty, and then his case was like reopened or something like that, in which they decided if he should be sentenced to death or not, in which case they heard the recordings. They played the audio tapes for the jury, which is terrifying. I really hope those people are okay. Like, genuinely, I hope they're okay after hearing that.
Oh, honestly, though. Ugh.
Yeah, but he was sentenced to death.
Imagine going to jury duty and you have to hear that.
Oh, God.
Wait, that is jury duty, right?
That is jury duty.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. God, that's horrible.
I know.
Do you get to know what the case is before you go to jury duty?
Because yeah,
what if that, they... you aren't mentally stable to like handle something like that, and then they put you there and they're like, it's your duty.
They have like, well, they do have like a screening process and stuff like that where they do ask questions pertaining to it. Like if it is a case about sexual assault, they can be like, hey, this is a sexual assault case. Like, will this negatively affect you?
Yeah. Because if that happened to you before, you wouldn't want to sit through that.
Yeah. Like, would you be able to give an unbiased opinion on this? That sort of thing, you know?
Yeah.
Obviously, if it's a sexual assault case, the person who did the sexual assault is going to be wrong.
Yeah. Excuse me.
Yeah. Okay, so this piece of garbage was sentenced to death on March 24th, 1981. And then he died in December 2019. Just a few days ago.
Hail breezy.
So there you go. That was part two of the Toolbox Killers.
Well, I mean, at least they are gone. Well, we'll see about the other one. I hope he doesn't get pruned.
I hope not.
I don't think he will. I think they just give him that option, so like...
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I don't know.
Well, considering what they did say about how he should never be... Let me read this again. He can realistically be regarded as an extreme sociopath whose depraved, grotesque behavior... pattern of behavior is beyond rehabilitation. The magnitude and the enormity of the defendant's heinous, nightmarish criminal behavior is beyond the comprehension of this probation officer. He better not be able to be paroled anytime.
Oh, God, no.
So, yeah.
Well, I'm glad that this story is over.
You know, me too.
I just don't like...
I know.
Gross.
I wanted to talk about something that was related to now, but I hadn't heard the entire case. So then I started researching it more and I was like, well, I already said I'm going to do this case next. So I felt like I didn't have a choice. So I had to do this one.
Yeah.
But we'll have a nice lighthearted bonus episode coming up on Tuesday. Yeah, Tuesday.
We'll find out.
So, yeah.
Okay. Well, thank y'all guys for listening. You can follow us on Instagram at
Horror Slumber Party Podcast.
Twitter.
@party_horror.
And you can email us your own opinions or input, your own stories.
Let me know what you guys think about of two-parters.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you like that,
like,
or you hate it.
Do you like to be continued? Oh, my God. I should start saying that at the end of the first one.
Oh, my God.
Let's go edit the other one and then repost. I'm just kidding.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, well, anyways, I'm tired, so good night and scary dreams.
Bye.